Welcome to the Simply Charlotte Mason podcast. I'm Sonia Schaefer, and today we're going to be talking about nature study plus living books. I hope you've been enjoying our series on nature study. We've been talking about why Charlotte Mason included nature study in the curriculum lineup, when we should do nature study. We talked about the big picture of what it looks like, and some specifics on creating a nature notebook. Today, we're going to discuss what we need to add to nature study to provide a complete and well-rounded science education for our children. As wonderful as Charlotte Mason-style nature study is, it does have its limits, and Charlotte was aware of those limits, so she did not use nature study exclusively. She supplemented nature study with three things: living science books, object lessons, and nature projects. We'll focus on the living science books this time, and then address the other two activities in the coming weeks. There is a great quote in the book For the Children's Sake by Susan Schaefer McCauley. It's on page 133, and it goes like this. Charlotte Mason advised us to involve children directly with the world, letting them enjoy, wonder, and question themselves. She included direct observation and accurate recording from the earliest age. At the same time, she would have us hunt for treasure, books which open up the wonder and excitement of the created world. Living science books can bring much to this feast of learning that we're trying to spread. First, those books allow the student to verify what he's already observed for himself during his nature study. Charlotte was firm on the point that science education should include both elements, living books and personal time in nature. She said, "Now the knowledge of nature which we get out of books is not real knowledge. The use of books is to help the young student to verify facts that he has already seen for himself." Parents and Children, page 261. But if you think about it, no one person can see all there is to see in nature firsthand. So, a second purpose of living science books is to fill in those gaps in our learning. Distance can be a factor. Most of us will not be able to do nature study in person around the globe. Accessibility is also a factor. Some animals are rarely seen once in a lifetime, let alone available for prolonged observation at regular intervals in a year. Several years ago at my favorite park, one of my daughters spotted a beautiful snake curled up on a rock down by the edge of the pond. It was soaking up the heat from the sun. We watched it for a while, but it stayed still. It was covered with dirt, which made it hard to identify what kind of snake it was. So I ended up taking some pictures, and then I used those when we got home and eventually found out that it was an eastern king snake. But you know what? From that day to this, we have never seen that snake again. I look for him often, but he's really good at staying out of sight. We have not been able to observe where he lives, or what he eats, or any of his other habits, and we probably never will. That's where a living science book comes in. It can give us those missing details. We can read the observations that another naturalist recorded, one who did have extended access to that particular animal, or plant, or rock, or whatever, that we weren't able to observe for ourselves. And then a third thing that living science books can give is additional ideas of things to look for when we are out in nature. When you read a good book written by a person who has a passion for a particular nature friend, you pick up more nature study ideas along the way. The author might explain what she observed and how she managed to gather that knowledge. And those comments can help you expand on and fine-tune your own practices in nature. But a lot of those benefits depend on the book. Not all science books will accomplish those goals. So let's take a minute and talk about what makes a good living science book. To supplement your outdoor work, look for books that have literary value. Books that will illustrate and shed more light on your own observations in the field. Charlotte said, "Of natural science, too, we have to learn that the way into the secrets of nature is not through the barbed wire entanglements of science, as she is taught, but through field work or other immediate channel, illustrated and illuminated by books of literary value." A Philosophy of Education, page 256. See, a good living science book will put the reader right beside the naturalist in the field. It will touch your emotions and fire your imagination and make it seem like you are there, observing right along with her. As Charlotte described, the children are put in the position of the original observer of biological or other phenomena. They learn what to observe and make discoveries for themselves, original so far as they are concerned. They are put in the right attitude of mind for scientific observations and deductions, and their keen interest is awakened. School Education, page 238. So look for two kinds of living science books. Books that provide a broad overview, and books that focus on one particular aspect of nature. Both kinds are profitable. Our elementary science courses here at Simply Charlotte Mason include both kinds. The main science books, for example, Pond and Stream, Outdoor Secrets, or Jack's Insects, give a broad overview of plants and animals or insects that can be seen in God's creation. Then the corresponding companion volumes, the Pond and Stream Companion, Outdoor Secrets Companion, and Jack's Insects Narration and Nature Study Notebook, those provide titles of additional books that are more focused. Those additional titles will allow your child to dig deeper into the specific aspects of nature that he met in the main book. Most of the recommended titles can be found at your library. If you can't find the exact book recommended, your library should have other books on the topic that you can use to help your student learn more about nature friends that he may or may not meet in person. You can also find a list of some of our favorite living science books on our website. You'll find a link in the show notes. Now I want to ask, what are some living science books that you and your children have enjoyed? Would you share a couple of your favorite titles in the comments? And please include age recommendations to help other CM homeschoolers who may be looking for great books to add to their nature study times. Next time, we'll talk about something else you can add to nature study, object lessons. Thanks for joining us for the Simply Charlotte Mason podcast. You'll find links to suggested resources, related articles, and a written transcript of this show in the show notes and at simplycharlottemason.com. See you next time.